Welcome back, Mistakes Listeners. This is Dave, and that means it's Parenting Mistakes. This week, we looked at a show called Chowder. You know what the best part about looking at this show called Chowder was? It was a listener request. So, as always, this would happen to be episode... Oh, good grief. It's episode 74, almost 75. This episode was recorded on, well, it was last week, which means it was September 22nd, 2016. And, you know, you can follow us on Twitter at Parent Mistakes. You can follow us on Facebook at Parenting Mistakes. And you can actually email us directly at parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. And as always, listener request time. Sit back and enjoy the show. Rather a momentous day, and for reasons that you don't know why it's momentous.
Well, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat.
Yes, and I don't know when the last time my sister tuned in and listened to the show.
She's right? Not a faithful, she's not a subscriber.
I have no doubt that she is subscribing, whether or not she has time, because my sister's been pregnant for the past 9 months.
Well, and, you know, she's got time.
Well,
you know,
but as of like 7 hours ago, she's no longer pregnant. You're right. She does have time now, right?
Yeah.
Nice. So a big congratulations to my new nephew.
Okay.
Who, man, so I'm not sure. Well, okay, I haven't gotten permission to actually announce his name over here.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, don't. Yeah,
not going to do it, but I can say that he is 8 pounds, 3 ounces, and it actually is a he. He's 20 inches long.
Okay.
So, and he's awesome, according to the text I got from my sister.
He's awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
well,
that's nice.
It's a good thing to be.
Yeah. So I thought that was a really good way to start the day. Unfortunately, in the kidney household, everybody is sick. So okay. I woke up at 3 in the morning listening to my daughter hack up a lung, and then my other daughter woke up this morning hacking up a lung. So everybody's at home today pestering me.
Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that it's a great thing to share as a family.
Sickness.
Sickness
and in health.
Yeah,
right?
Sickness and in health, yes, and in children.
And in children.
Because you can't just... I saw this television commercial one time. It was pretty fantastic. It was a mom. She sticks her head into her, you know, little kid's room, and the kid is in a crib standing there staring at her. And she says, you know what? You know, I'm really sorry. I got to take a sick day.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like she would call her boss and say, I'm not going to be in the office to sort of say, hey, I'm not going to – sorry, I can't parent today.
Right. And actually there's a male version of that too, which obviously appeals to me more, being a stay-at-home dad. Let's see here. Parents can never take a sick day or something like that. I can't remember what the ad was.
Yes.
You can't take your day off, right? She's looking – because she's talking to her boss, and the boss happens to be the kid.
Exactly.
That's the nature of the commercial, which I'm sure everybody's seen. Today we are critiquing that commercial.
And it's always funnier when you explain it.
That's right.
See, the joke is...
That's right. Maybe someday we will critique commercials. I don't know. Some of those Super Bowl commercials. We did, actually. We already have critiqued commercials on this show.
Yes,
we... Super Bowl episode.
Well, in a larger context of the Super Bowl experience itself.
Yes. By the way, speaking of other shows that we've watched, I watched the season opener. So I thought about coming back to some of these things and how they changed. I've been following Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
And I would say last season it got pretty violent. Well, this season, the time
changed.
Because
it was so passive before.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't as – it is strictly not family friendly anymore. Right?
Oh, okay.
It has passed into the new zone of my goodness. And this season opener, there was blood everywhere. Because now, not only there were two things, now they're at a 10 p.m. time slot.
Mm.
So this is just kind of a PSA, right?
Yeah.
Public service announcement here. In that, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not as friendly as I once reviewed it.
Okay.
And I would say that they've amped up the sexuality, and there is a lot of blood and gore, more so than ever. Not that they're trying to compete with Game of Thrones or anything like that, but my goodness.
They might be trying to compete with Game of Thrones.
Okay. Yeah, okay, you're right.
Thank you for that analysis, Dr. Pfeiffer.
Just saying. And if you have your kids up at 10 o'clock at night, then maybe they should go to bed.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Todd? It almost sounded like you're going to suggest something about those parents.
No, I was just going to say maybe they should go to bed. It's getting kind of late, you know, 10 o'clock.
No, when Fantasy Island came on, it was time to go to bed, right?
Right.
Heck no. When the Love Boat was on, that was like pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you made it to Fantasy Island, oh my gosh, right? Like,
yeah.
Woohoo, I'm here. But I never made it past the first 5 minutes.
Kids should never know who Tattoo is. They should not know.
Talk about tame. But at the time, oh my goodness, I couldn't watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Know?
Risque.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So what are we going to talk about today?
Wow, talk about risque, right? So,
well
we should back up, because this is actually an awesome lead-in, right? Like, this is a good transition for us. It's almost a gimme. Why is it important that we reviewed this episode today?
Why is it important?
Yeah.
Well, because it was a listener request.
Hey! You nailed it. Pop quiz!
Hey, we'll just give a shout-out to listener Mike, who asked for us to look at Chowder.
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 Yes. We did look at Chowder. Oh, my word, yes.
Now, Chowder is, and this is something that we have tried to do in general, not necessarily as a philosophy, but we've just tried to do stuff that's current. Chowder is a show that is no longer on the Cartoon Network, but you can find it on Netflix, and as we've talked about before, that is the wonder and glory of Netflix, is that you can get tons of shows and movies from years past. And I think nowadays it's different for both kids and adults, because you just sit down in front of Netflix and you don't really care sometimes whether or not it's current or it's just out. It's there. You yep. click on it, you watch a little bit, and you're like, hey, I like this show. And if it happened to be a show that ran from 2003 to 2006, you don't really care because you like it.
Yep. And the other thing, too, as a parent, this is another PSA as well. We've got filters now on our Netflix, right? So we've actually had filters on Netflix for quite some time. So Kayleen has her own account for Netflix.
Yes.
And it's something I think is Y7 and below. So when she goes into Netflix, that's all she actually sees. But Chowder is interesting, right? Because I'm not sure. What did it get rated? Chowder's weird.
I believe it was like – they've got age ranges in Netflix.
They
so
do.
I want to say they've got – I think they broke it down to even like 7 to 8, 9 to 10, 11, 12, something like that.
Yes. Well, and then I think what's interesting about kids' rating is that there's – certainly stuff you don't want to see, but there are certainly things that you want your kids to be occupied with.
Yeah, and there is also kind of the interesting upper threshold. So they'll sort of say, this is appropriate, at least based on what Netflix says.
Right.
This is appropriate for kids as low as this, as young as this, but they also sort of have an upper range. And it's not to say – I don't know if it's to say that Netflix is recommending that you stop watching the cartoon when you're 12 or whatever. But it's almost to say this is kind of where this is in terms of content.
Well, okay, like any good marketing genius, you want to make sure that the user is entertained.
Correct.
So if I'm 12 and I have been issued an episode of Baby Einsteins, I'm going to be turning that off immediately, right? Like, what? Why am I wasting my time with this, right? They want to make sure that – so in other words, when they populate cartoons, the first thing a 12-year-old should see is not Baby Einsteins, right? It should be Jessica.
Correct.
Or something
Correct.
To that effect, right? I'm just trying to – I'm thinking about how they would think about it and why you're talking about this age-up kind of business, right? TVY7 is no longer how should I say this? It's no longer consumable for a 13-year-old.
Right. Well,
although they can consume it if they want to, but
right. And we know, and we've talked about this before, when you're in college, you sort of cycle back to cartoons. And then even as an adult, sometimes you cycle back to cartoons as sort of a nostalgic venture, as it were. Or you end up with the brony experience with My Little Pony.
Right.
Which, by the way, as a side note, I saw on Netflix there is a documentary now on the bronies.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, is it? Have you watched it? Is it any
good? I have not.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Maybe we'll review that at some point as sort of a...
It's funny. Before we started podcasting, about, I'd say 3 years ago, I took a stab at trying to watch Robotech. Robotech was always unavailable to me as a kid, but everybody that watched it was like, this is the most immense, incredible show, right? The Matt Cross saga and all this stuff. As an adult, I tried to sit down and watch it, and I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I tried. I really did. And the animation is amazing, but I would say that there is better options now. Oh, dare I say this. Better options than Star Blazers and Robotech as an adult to watch animation from Japan.
Correct.
That far exceeds those proto shows that stimulated us in the late 70s.
That's right. So speaking of stimulus, let's cycle back to Chowder.
Yeah, I want to be careful of Chowder. I'm trying my darndest because I'm looking. You looked at the wiki page, I'm assuming, and you saw that it was an award winner.
Yes.
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 So as a parent, if I did not know anything about this show and I was looking for data on it, I would say, wow, it's an award-winning show. The red flag for any parent is that it's on, and again, I always want to be careful with this stuff. The red flag is it's on Cartoon Network.
Yes.
Right? Which is always going to have edgier cartoons for everybody involved.
Correct. At least that's been their MO of late.
Yes. I can't, to be honest with you, Todd, there hasn't been a moment of time where I thought Cartoon Network has got wholesome goodness in it. That's true.
Okay, so if let's go back to what we've done before and tell me what the plot is.
We watched
season one, episode one.
Here's what's weird, dude. Sorry, Todd. I'm talking. I'm not using my radio tone. Sorry.
Back to our high school vernacular.
Hey, dude. That's right. I think you could side with me on this. We only watched one episode, season one, episode one.
Yes.
I have a feeling that we watched the same plot for the next 49 episodes.
That's possible.
In that first episode, which is crazy to think that this is an award-winning show, which I know they utilize the same plot from 1 to 49. I can't say I know that. And we watched two shows. It's a part of this new generation of cartoon, which is basically 25 minutes of entertainment that are kind of parsed out into like two shows, a little mini show at the end.
Correct.
And the first episode was, in essence, Chowder is, I want to say, a rabbit. In the wiki site, it says he's a child. Whatever he is, he's an apprentice to a chef, and the chef is basically always making just these most outlandish dishes for the people of that world.
Yes.
And he is the middleman, of course. He is put in the perfect position for comedy. Because you've got the chef who's interesting in that he has a certain direction to go, but he's not the straight man. They actually do have a straight man. What is it? What was his name?
His name is...
Thank you.
Oh, wait. Schnitzel.
No, it wasn't Schnitzel. Are you sure it was Schnitzel?
Yes.
Okay.
Schnitzel.
And he's the straight man. He's nonverbal.
He is described as a taupe rock monster.
Okay. There you go. And he's the straight man. He's the thing that all the bad things happen to. Right? So he is actually... And he's actually, in my opinion, one of the cooler characters. He's interesting.
Yes.
They're all kind of interesting. With the exception of probably Chowder. But he's made there... Again, he's not created for me. He's created for a different audience. He's slapsticky. Things get outrageous. But we probably should talk. I mean, that's the plot. The first episode is basically, we've got to make this grandiose thing. And there are 68 steps to making this recipe. And all of the steps are insane.
the Froggy Apple Crumple Thumpkin. That was what they were making.
That is what they're making. The second episode is a little more off in that I think they're still making a recipe. There's cooking involved anyway, and you figure out that the mentor has a rival, and the rival has also an assistant, and she is a bunny, and she basically claims that Chowder is her boyfriend, and he spends the entire episode trying to disprove that theory.
Yes.
The only thing that wasn't cliche about this episode was that at the end of that particular episode, I thought, oh, here it comes. She's going to deny him service and say, oh, you're no longer my boyfriend. And he's going to realize, oh, right? Now I feel rejected, right? But he didn't. He walked away from it saying, whew, glad that's over, right?
Well, he almost walked away with a... Oh, I don't want to say this. A contentedness with the status of their relationship, which is to say, it seemed like they're still boyfriend, girlfriend, but he doesn't have to do some of the things that he thought he had to do in the relationship.
Right.
But, by the way, just to clarify, Chowder is described as a purple cat bear rabbit.
Okay, so that's probably why the web is calling him a child, right?
Yes. Well, he is a 9-year-old, according to my extensive research.
Okay. Well, and I'm sure there's quite a bit more development that went over.
His girlfriend Panini is a cabot.
Oh, okay.
A cat rabbit.
And okay.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. You know.
that actually is fine. I mean.
Yeah. Sure.
The style is completely reminiscent of SpongeBob. If you're a big SpongeBob fan, this is like 2.0.
Yes.
I actually really love some of the uses of the animation. Like, did you catch that when you looked at Chowder's shirt or any of the patterns that it almost felt like you were looking three-dimensionally through it, like the pattern was an overlay?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Oh, I kind of like that.
Sort of messed with my head.
I thought it was pretty creative. I liked it. It's kind of hard to explain. You kind of had to see it for yourself.
No, I mean, I noticed it.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I'm talking to our listeners. Like, it's a very hard thing to describe what's happening there.
Well, it's almost like that's stationary and everything else is moving. I felt like that.
I think you had to see it to believe it.
Yeah, anyway. All right, so
let's talk content, right? That's what you're saying.
You're a parent. Your kid wants to watch this. You have seen this episode. Do you? Your daughter would fit into the recommended demographic, as it were, or at least the Netflix recommended demographic.
Yes.
So, do you let her watch this show?
Well, I, you know, usually I'm the one that kind of critiques first, so I'm going to give you the opportunity to critique first today.
All right. So, here's the same challenge that we faced with a lot of shows. I know that I'm not the target audience, as it were. This is a Cartoon Network thing, and I think I'm starting to build like a little bit more of a, well, we all have biases, as it were. I feel like every time I watch a Cartoon Network show, I feel like they took the animators and they just gave them a whole case of Red Bull and just said, just pound all of these beverages and then just start drawing. It's so frantic, like the pace.
Mm-hmm.
Pacing is so frantic. You know, you talked about you know, the animation and, you know, that sort of thing. I find when I'm watching this, part of me wants to notice it because I think there are a lot of fine details. They're in a fictional fantasy world where they've merged a lot of animals and merged a lot of environmental elements, and there's a lot there, but it just sort of flies by so quickly.
Right.
That you can't enjoy any of it. You can't absorb any of it. And it still sort of feels like... It's like if you had your kids at home and you need to do something with them and you're like, hey, let's just run around the room all crazy-like and scream. And...
Which is what every parent needs more of.
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily bad. It's just sort of... I just sort of feel like it's more of sort of the puppet show where two puppets have sticks and they just whack each other for 22 minutes.
Yep.
And there's also silly string being shot into the air for no apparent reason and that sort of thing. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah, I mean, we can... okay, so it's setting a precedence for itself, which is always an advantage, I think, for us to always watch that first episode because that's always setting the tone. Within the first 5 minutes of the show, Chowder walks into a room from running an errand.
Yes.
And
he went to get groceries at the farmer's market.
And the head chef's like, did you have a nibble of that on the way home? And he's like, well, yeah, I did. So he literally starts vomiting up all this food. He vomits up grapes. He vomits up a piece of cheese. He vomits up a strawberry. And it keeps going, right?
Like, yeah.
Then he vomits up a giant octopus, right? Or a tentacle of some sort. I mean, it keeps on going and going until he vomits up a human being who it turns out that the human being pops out of him. And I said, how are they going to handle this? Because I thought, does that mean that Chowder a cannibal? And was he going to let that guy go? Right? I know it's comedy and all. But
right.
There's a part of me that's like as a parent going, oh my goodness, right? Like he ate a human being. He didn't just eat a human being.
He ate a whole band.
Yeah, as it turns out, he ate a whole band. But when the human pops out, he's like, hey, thanks, Chowder. Thanks for the ride. In other words, it was a voluntary consumption. Right? So the comedy is all there, right?
Maybe it was a voluntary consumption. Maybe Chowder ate him. And then when he let him out, he's like, oh, well, we got moved a little farther. So I guess that worked out okay.
I know, right? So it's completely insane. That scene, as maybe a 2 to 3 year old, if you didn't get the humor, you might be thinking that's a little disturbing, and it's intended to be disturbing, but it's also the overriding note there is that this is comedy. Another sequence is when, can you repeat that gray thing's name again? Bartis.
No, it wasn't gazpacho. It was schnitzel.
Okay, so
gazpacho is the storekeeper at the farmer's market, by the way.
Okay.
Who is a woolly mammoth.
Right, so schnitzel, right, so he, they get some sort of item. Oh, that's what they're beating up fruit. A non-fruit to become a real fruit, so it's a bunch of nonsense. But they hit this fruit wrong, and a creature pops out and attaches itself to the straight man's face, right?
Yes.
Now, what's bothersome here...
It's very aliens.
It's like a face hugger. And it's very clear that he can't breathe. He can't breathe. And I'm like, I don't like this either. I don't like what it's suggesting.
He's freaking out. Yeah, he's freaking out during this.
Well, and he finally pulls that thing off, and he's like, which means he couldn't breathe. And I'm like, right. I don't like that either. And then there is, I think in episode 2, there's a comment about the ball and chain, right? So the chef is talking about being married and how, if I wasn't married, right? And then his wife comes in with a pan and smacks him over the head with a pan. Right? Ah,
yes.
Comedy. So funny. But I'm like, yuck. I don't like that either because I love being married. You know, I think marriage is a great thing. And then this is old-timey depiction of, the old ball and chain, right?
Well, and to be fair, that's going to fly over a 7-year-old's head. The adult is going to say, okay, this guy is fantasizing about being away from his wife.
And I also wanted to come up with a new term. So are you familiar with this Japanese term called fan service? It's a lot of these animated shows in which they will depict women in all sorts of sexual positions, Right? And some of these shows in Japan come over across the sea, and they called, well, they're called, you know, just for everybody, not just across the sea, but it's called a fan service. In other words, we're going to show you even more of this sexuality, right? These teasers. And I thought to myself, we need to come up with a term for kids, which I want to call fart service, in which you get these episodes in which, hey, if the joke isn't going right, just add a fart noise.
Right.
Because kids are always going to laugh at a fart. Or kids are always going to laugh at being smelly. And like this show in the first episode, I'm like, they had to pander to that immediately. Because I'm like, oh, it's kind of getting boring here. Well, let's add the fart cloud. Right?
Yes, there's a fart cloud that's like this transition between scenes.
And he is always there. And he is going to help that whatever the low point hits, right? You got to get a point there to get kids laughing again or engaged. And I guarantee you right now at my table, if I'm down there having dinner tonight and I just say fart, I'm going to be the ace parent of the evening. Right? I don't know. So there's a lot of, there's some bathroom humor. There's some bathroom humor innuendo in there, a.k.a. fart service. I don't know. There's my critique, and I just totally took it from you.
It's
probably an overanalysis of it. I can't say. Here's the weird thing. I can't say that it's not a creative show.
It is creative.
I'm making it sound like it's not, but I'm saying there's a lots of things that they just, it's like the most accentuated kind of form of cartoon that kids can get today, and it's the very best of it, which is unfortunate. You know, it's kind of here's the standard. Because I look at Phineas Ferb, I put that in the carry. Uncle Grandpa is in here. SpongeBob is in here. And then The Day My Butt Went Psycho is in here.
Yeah.
All very creative shows, but they're just in your face, and they're, who knows what they're teaching your kids. There's so much information there that's happening on so many different levels, and I'm sure that's why it's got awards. Hey, it speaks to the parents. It also speaks to me, and hey, there's a fart joke.
Right. Yeah, it's hyper-visuals, and it is, again, relatively tame in terms of content. I mean, it's, again, it's shenanigans. You know, the first episode when they're cooking, it's just all the pitfalls that can occur in the kitchen, which is real, and it's normal. And then the second episode is sort of this kid romance, which we find cute a lot of times when kids are sort of, you know, discovering new relationships and that sort of thing. And that, again, is real. That's real stuff. And fart jokes and goofiness and that sort of thing. I mean, in some ways, it is a reflection of society, but it's still back to the question of, all right, you already have some of this at your house. Do you need to take all of the sort of crazy elements and pack it into 22 minutes of fast-paced visuals?
Me personally as a parent, no.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't want any more of this than I have to have in my house.
I mean, again, if you're looking for just sort of raw entertainment, you're looking for something that's going to keep their attention, sure, this will do it, probably. Unless you have a kid that, because some of these shows, what's interesting, we've talked about this, some of these shows are so sensory overload that the kids sort of, it sort of overwhelms them, and they just sort of walk away because they're like, I don't even know what I'm watching here.
Right.
It's just so nuts.
It's totally true.
I mean, this is, again, where we separate from kids and adults. When I watch a show like this now, it just kind of makes me tired. I'm just like, slow down. Slow your roll. I mean, it makes Bugs Bunny cartoons look positively plodding in some ways.
Right, yeah, I have to agree, yep.
Because as much as you had, I mean, I think about that, and I don't want to turn this into, you know, back when we watched cartoons, they were pure and wholesome and they made sense. I'm sure adults looked at Bugs Bunny Roadrunner and said, what are you doing?
Take any episode of Tom and Jerry.
Yeah,
and go,
it's the
oh
same
my
gag.
Lord, what's happening here?
It's the same gag over and over. Same thing. You know, Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote. he's going to set up a bunch of elaborate stuff, and then he's going to fall off the cliff, and then there's going to be a little puff of smoke when he hits the ground, and then the Roadrunner is going to run away.
Yes.
Standard stuff. So to your original point, yeah, we saw the plot. There's going to be shenanigans in the kitchen. There's going to be some strange imagery. We're going to throw in unfruit.
I like the strange imagery, yes.
Schnitzel is going to be just sort of hanging around, offering his. It says on Wikipedia his vocabulary consists almost entirely of rata. That's his voice.
Yeah.
He just sort of grumbles. And that's what it is. So, I don't know. I guess
I would totally recommend this to a college grad.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's got awards. I can't say that it's not creative, because there's even explanations. For, say, like the non-fruit, which I've never seen in an idea like that before. It's kind of a cool concept. You get this non-fruit that just looks like tofu. They smack it with a club, and it starts turning into whatever fruit that might be out there. And once it becomes that fruit, they actually say it's the best apple you've ever had.
Right.
First, it's just saying it's just an apple. They're like, no, this is the best tasting apple I've ever had. So there's a point behind the non-fruit, which means there's somebody, the light is on over there at the Chowder Studios, right?
Yes, but again, a kid is not going to pick that up. All they're going to see is, hey, these people are hitting fruit with a club.
Right.
That's funny.
That's right.
I wonder what would happen if I hit an apple with a club in the kitchen.
Whoa.
I mean, and it's not like they're, you know, we're not going to sit there and go, you know, these are teaching kids to hit fruit with tools. That's not.
I guess this is all warm up for Gallagher, right?
Yeah, I suppose. It's the slapstick. It's slapstick.
And if you like watching watermelons get smacked by hammers,
then
that's your gig.
This is a good preview.
Yep.
So,
would you recommend it for, who would you recommend it for?
Again, I'm just not really a Cartoon Network guy. I mean, I get it. I understand why it's appealing. I just don't. It doesn't speak to me. And, you know, would I let a kid watch it?
Okay, here you
go. It would be okay, I guess.
Here you go.
It has no redeeming value at all. It really doesn't.
It doesn't. Well, if you want, well, and none of that, there's stuff that's better out there. And I'll just give a shout out to Teen Titans Go, right?
Yeah.
It's just
well,
a better
go
show.
Back to Little Lunch.
We keep on recommending Little Lunch. This is like our least popular episode of all time. No matter how many times we talk about that episode,
Little Lunch is awesome.
Watch the Teen Titans Go.
I don't know.
Desperate enough.
This to me is still just getting out a can of, you know, Ready Whip and just spraying it in each other's mouths and running around the room and playing with silly string. That's sort of the cartoon version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. But nowhere near as good as it actually doing that.
Well, maybe you should try that now. So you know.
That's right. If your kids are desperate
get
for
your
like...
kids now, just you know,
get some get silly screen and go crazy, right?
Some energy shots and some silly string, and air horns, and just
go crazy.
Crazy. But if you're going to be a little more calm, you can check us out on social media. We're on Twitter, Parent Mistakes. Please tweet us, Facebook, Parenting Mistakes, and also you can email us, just like listener Mike did with a suggestion, parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. We are on iTunes and Podomatic and YouTube, and you can support us financially on Patreon.
And is that a new Calvin College shirt that you got from Calvin?
I've had this one actually for a little while. You can't see this because
I thought it might be a new one, but, you know, it's the old one.
It's Calvin College Knights football, undefeated since 1876.
Wow. Is that true?
Technically, yes. Think it through.
They don't have football?
Ding, 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 ding.
gosh, I love that shirt. Where do I get that?
From the bookstore.
Nice. All right. What's your final word?
Enjoy your silly string and whipped cream. And go watch a little lunch.